News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. And by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block off East Cotton, open 7 days a week. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hey, is this what... Oh, I take my mask off, huh? The heck with that. I'm not doing that because I'm doing a radio show. I can get away with it, right?
That's right. How, 6 feet
we need to put that microphone on over here. She's just talking.
Hello.
Talking
there
to the wind.
I'm mumbling to myself.
And who are you anyway? How'd you get
I'm
in?
I'm Melissa Sargent.
Oh!
Hello, everyone.
How'd you get in here?
I walked in when nobody was looking. The mayor was gone, so I jumped in the car and ran.
Even better. Welcome here. Hey, it's an interesting day already. We've got the wind's blowing around, man.
That's
different.
But, you know, what a time for this to hit. Sinus season, COVID season. It's lovely.
And put the dust in the air right up your nose. Whatever. We're going to do a radio show about history because that's what we do here. We do enjoy El Paso history and kind of like it's a different thing. I mean, all the rest of that stuff going on is like a one monotone track. And we just got to deal with it. So let me start. Should I read my script?
It's like monotonous.
Good morning and welcome to the El Paso History Radio Show. We are proceeding with the show about El Paso history. And we still say Texas history begins El Paso. Well, good morning, Melissa.
Howdy, et cetera. Good to be here.
That's what it's,
you like that? reading directly from the script.
That's exactly what it says on your... Anyway, another radio show, KTSM AM 690. They can find us on the internet if they look where they look.
They can go to ktsmradio.com or even better, go to the iHeartRadio.com link where you can just type in KTSM and it will take you right to our station and you can listen to us live anywhere in the country.
Our standard new normal, we're not going to do trivia question today, but...
Oh, that's right. We do have a set of 5 coupons worth $20 each and one per customer, and it's buried on the MissionDelRay.com website.
Not buried too far.
Well, yeah. I looked at it yesterday and finally found them with a hint. Uh-huh. We will tell you how to find them and apply one to your online order. This is, of course, only for online right now. And it's one per customer. Get $20 off your internet order today. That's a bargain.
It is.
And they've got some great sales going on, too. In fact, I wanted to order a didgeridoo.
Oh, my.
They used to have them. They're out of stock right now.
I think I had one in my house, but we got some.
Oh,
we got some spray and got rid of it.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. There we go. Okay. So
I know what that is.
Find it before we announce how to get it, and call us if you can. We'll applaud you on the radio for finding it before we tell the website location.
We'll tell you how to find the coupons on the MissionDelRay.com website. But if you want to go wandering around looking for it, it's on there.
Yeah.
And it was kind of interesting to help get those guys, hey, let's bury a coupon thing on your website. Okay, let's do that.
Oh, and you know what I found on there, just for grins to go offline on
what?
It? They have a design book on there you can download for free on how to design with Southwest, because they have a lot of Southwest items and decorations.
They're a great company,
cool,
and they're
stuff.
Rather dynamic, and they're online.
Neat
and
people.
With the new rules, you can pick up stuff at their store.
And they stayed advertising with us, so we make sure we have the city to support them also.
Still, we make the show about them? No. Because we have a history moment also, second hour, right?
Yes, we do. And it's kind of a, you know, it's about, what is it about? Oh, that's right. It's a quick history lesson on the early origins of El Paso.
The name.
Well, the name and a few other things, yeah.
You're not going to lunch today as a group, but we do encourage you to go to our sponsors, Pepe's and Amigos, take out orders. We'll have those phone numbers for you in a bit. And also the website, Scavenger Hunt. It's just a little one. I mean, we will tell you how to find the coupons. But if you want to find it and call us, it'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, like I said, there's no trivia. But you can still win something today by going to MissionDelRay.com and coupon scavenger hunt.
And again, we will tell you where it is. Okay, April 25, 2025. What is this, 2020? We're going to review the history of and major changes that happened when the railroads came to El Paso in the 1880s. That was a major deal for El Paso history. The radio show, we will explain how railroads built their cross-country lines through El Paso to connect the American Southwest with both coasts and Mexico, because we were the hub from Mexico for a while. And Pancho Villa found it, and then it hit the fan. That's another matter. But anyway, El Paso became a major train hub in 2 years of 1881 to 1883, and it is still a major train corridor today. So we have asked some serious train people to come in by phone as our guests, and we want to welcome the first guy on the phone. Here's Woody. Woody Bear, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you all?
Hey, Woody.
We're actually surviving quite nicely, and you suggested we take another one of your buddies in train business, and this would be who would this be? We know who this guy is. This is Dave Hawkins. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how you doing? Good morning.
Good morning.
Good, thank you. And see, Dave is the guy who does the model trains, and Woody is the guy who does train anything. Right? You'll train anything, won't you?
Yep.
Lions,
I'll
tigers, and bears.
Fair enough. Well, the thing about the train business in El Paso, it was substantial. Woody, make a comment, if you don't mind, about how big a deal was this?
It was quite a big deal because in 1879 there were 300 people in El Paso, and in 1884 there were 3,000. In 1890 there were 10,000 people, and this was all because of the railroads coming in, the infrastructure, and all of the businesses that were here. Cleofas Calleros, a great El Paso historian, said that in 1896 there were 15,500 people in El Paso, and that was thanks to the railroads.
Oh, yeah.
So it brought quite a bit to El Paso.
And it also brought quite a bit of culture and strange things like that. The second hour, we're going to talk with Patricia Kidney about what happened with the culture, because not only did the people increase, but the things they did change dramatically from little old adobe El Paso just went through
big
the roof.
City. Yeah.
Well, it did. There's a number of things that occurred, and the rail lines that came through are quite substantial. Now, you and Dave Hawkins were collaborating with Patricia to do a major train event that has obviously been postponed and or canceled, and that would be at a Freeport MacMoran. Is that how you say MacMoran? Moran?
Yes, that's how you say it.
And they actually have it. What's the train they have out there?
They have locomotive 3420, which was built in 1904 for the El Paso Northeastern Railroad, and eventually ended up with the Southern Pacific Railroad, and then retired here in El Paso. Was given to the citizens of El Paso, and we still have it.
We thank Freeport for storing it, basically, what they're doing, right?
Yes.
And
they keep that and a little bit of our other rolling stock that we have out there.
Excellent. Now, Dave, you had your model train group had actually planned to make a big deal out there and do a display. What do you do and you've done this for a couple of years, right?
Yes, we have. This would have been the third year we've been out in support and teaming with the Railroad and Transportation Museum folks, Woody and Prince McKenzie.
What's the full name of your organization?
It's the Railroad Model and Historical Association of El Paso, Inc. There's a mouthful.
And it sounds like that's a nonprofit.
It is a nonprofit. We're a 501c3 chartered to do education and historical preservation, if you will, of railroad and railroad model equipment and publications.
Also, you have fun once in a while, don't you?
We actually get out and have an opportunity to run trains occasionally, which is really fun.
Well, you will also go on location too. If somebody has a need of the school when things are normal, you will take a train display to a school, or how does that work?
Yeah, we've been out to many locations. We, in the past, have been out to Cielo Vista Mall several times. We've been out to libraries and other community locations. And we're more than willing to go out and set up a kind of an abbreviated display if we're going into a smaller space and talk about trains, model trains, train history, and show folks what we do when we're having fun.
I bet you are. I mean, you and I talked during the week about what – what got me into it was the train under the Christmas tree kind of thing. Like, oh, my God, look at that. And, you know, I guess is that how you started out?
As a matter of fact, I did. And I still have some of the trains that I put under the Christmas tree, a long time ago. I found them and recovered them from my brothers and sisters. So I have those and run those down at our train house on Vaughn Court.
What is the size gauge of the train you like that you did in those days?
Well, a lot of us grew up with the O-scale trains, the larger Lionel trains, people call them. We run those. We run HO, which are a slightly smaller scale than O, and then we also run the N-scale, which are which are too small for me to really work on anymore. I need a magnifying glass.
I would agree with you. Those are tiny. I'd have to get some tiny person to set that up for me. That's a fabulous hobby, and you guys have turned it into kind of like a promotional industry. Do you promote the history of El Paso with that, or how do you work that?
We do. We work the history piece. We work general railroad and railroad modeling history, but we also support El Paso history. Right now, we have a display in the El Paso History Museum, Tracks Across the Southwest is what it's called. It was running in January, February, and then, of course, like everything else, it has been shut down. Scheduled to run through the 14th of June. I don't know if we will extend that or not, but it's a diorama of El Paso trains in the 1890s, 1900s, in that era.
Well, that's a pretty substantial display, as I recall. Wasn't that funded by one of the railroads?
It was funded by the Union Pacific Foundation, which is a major sponsor for us. They've given us grants over the years. Right now, we're working on a grant from the foundation to renovate our building. It needs a roof drastically, I guess, and we will be able to do that with part of this funding. But the real issue is we're going to renovate our building and open up a library space that the community can come in and actually sit there and read and do research on some of our more historic publications.
We have
documents that trace back to 1934, which aren't really old, but for model railroading, that's pretty ancient.
Well, the train business you're referring to, the building, is on Vaughn Court. Where is that?
At 6335 Vaughn Court. It sits just off Escarity, which is between Alameda and Delta. Easy to get to, plenty of parking spaces, plenty of room around the building. And we're open normal times. We're open every Thursday evening to the public from 7 to 9. And then have other events during the year where we invite the public in, or you talked about the train show. We'll go out to a location, in this case, Freeport McMoRan, or Artovino's Desert Crossing is one of our other large shows.
Oh, yeah.
And just set up our portable displays and run trains and talk trains and talk to people about railroad history and El Paso railroad history.
Hey, Dave, I was also noticing on the Facebook page that you have links to YouTube videos, correct? Where you can see the trains actually running different setups?
Yes, it's different setups and different locations. Some of the members are really active in doing some neat YouTube videos of trains in their house and other locations. I think we tried to put one up from the El Paso History Museum from this Tracks Across the Southwest. I'm not sure we've been able to accomplish that or not, but it will show up sometime in the future.
Yeah, I mean, one I'm looking at now, you have a wrecking crew on the PC and some different items. I don't know whether that's yours or another group. I'm not sure, but it's fascinating. I'm going to go look at these later.
Are you the guys that want to put trains out the front door and down the street and back in the back door and up on the second floor and that kind of thing?
We don't have a second floor, but if we build one, we would be interested.
Landscape. There you go. Landscape trains.
Just
that
a weird
cool.
curiosity. Yeah. On model trains, how much power do you have to add power at the other end of the long track? I never tried that.
No, actually, it doesn't use that much power. It's a low voltage AC or DC power, so you can plug it into any wall socket and run a train. No problem.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, I always wanted to put one down the street, but I never had much track. Yeah.
I wish we had a small little model train like they have up in Alamogordo for you to ride on.
Oh, yeah.
There are battery-operated model trains that you could use to run up and down the street.
Well, what about the ones that Melissa's referring to?
Yeah.
In Alamogordo, they have tracks that go around a park.
Yeah, they're a little railroad museum up there.
Wouldn't it be great to have that much space and that much train?
Well, they could do it in their facility over there off of Vaughn.
No, you need a big space.
It's not big enough.
You don't think
we could go around the side of the building. Maybe the neighbor would allow us to extend a little.
There you go.
Hey, Woody, we need to get some land over there at Escarity and run it around the park. What do you think?
I know. That's great. There's that one that used to be a Magic Landing that is off of I-10. It's a little bit bigger than the one in Alamogordo.
Oh.
But, you know, back in the 1960s, early 70s, they used to have a train like that out at Sunrise Center where you could ride it around and you can go to, you know, hop on the train, go to another store and ride around. And that one kind of disappeared after a while. But that was pretty neat.
Yeah.
Well, if I get to hit the lottery, we're going to make a train thing happen. I got news for you, big time.
What is that thing out there at the at that shop way out on Horizon Boulevard? I can't remember the name of the store out there. They have, you know, Southwest decorations, but they have that train.
The El Paso Connection. That used to be the train that was out of Magic Landing.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Well, that runs on tires, doesn't it?
No, it's actually on track.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's sitting on a track.
That's not the one I was thinking of then.
But it's what is it, a steam, or is it just electric, or?
It's probably
no, it's a small steam locomotive.
Really?
That was originally built for an amusement park in Arizona. When Magic Landing opened up, they brought it to El Paso.
We got to do something like that again. Gentlemen, take a break here. Put yourself on hold because we got to go sell some stuff and explain some things. And don't go away. As I mentioned to you on the email, if I manage to cut you off, dial us back up because that does happen around here. Hold on there. I got somebody on hold here, I think. Put these guys on hold, would you? Let's talk about the trivia thing. Did anybody call us up if you found the clue? And what was that deal again? MissionDelRay.com.
MissionDelRay.com. And there's some coupons that are hidden there for you for $20 off on your online purchases with Mission Delray. Because right now you can still shop online. You can ship to friends, birthdays, anniversaries, whatever.
Anywhere.
You can ship from that for, you know, thinking about things to do if you cannot get to the store.
So did anybody find the coupon? Because it's buried on the site, but not too far. And, well, you rummaged around throughout the site looking for things.
Is really bad because I go shopping and it's like, oh, I'm over here. I'm in this department. And it's like an hour and a half later, I'm like, oh, I've got to get back to work here.
Yeah, well, the thing is, all right, tell them how to find this thing.
Well, they can go to what they can do is they can go to missiondelray.com, and you can. There's another way of getting a 10% off. Also, I got to mention if you sign up for their buyer's newsletter.
Oh,
so that's another 10%.
Think you can add those two together today.
But that's for other shopping items, and they also send you coupons and things like that as they do them. But
so
this one specifically,
missiondelray.com.
Yeah. And you can go to. Do we tell them exactly?
Yeah,
where
do it.
Oh heck, go to the contact page.
Scroll down to the bottom.
Look for the El Paso History Radio Show on that page, and that's it. Click on that link, and you'll find
your coupon there.
Yeah.
And the first five people to do that get today 20% off on whatever they buy there. So there's the commercial for those guys. We're going to take a break and come back. Call us if you think you want to talk trains here.
Yes, call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
I was here, now I'm there, but I'm back.
You're sure?
Where'd I go? Hey,
I don't know.
Got to tell you about that YouTube channel we have. It's an interesting YouTube channel. YouTube.com/... El Paso History TV. Go there. We have about 120 some odd videos there. 16 of them are Bernie Sargent on ABC7 doing stuff we've been doing since 2018. We got four more ready to go whenever ABC7 refocuses on the rest of the world. We are ready with four more, and those are in-house over there ready to go, I think. We'll see what happens. But the new ones are about the Mission Trail and the Camino Real and Socorro Road and how all that is one highway. Did you know that, Melissa?
No, I didn't.
You should know that because you're a history person. Anyway,
Keystone's right on it.
That's true. And this is all going on YouTube. And that is happening. And also, we put on about a dozen of our DVDs. I've been spending two decades making DVDs about El Paso history. We decided as part of this stay-at-home and teach your children stuff that we went ahead and put those on online for free. So go take a look at that. YouTube.com/El Paso History TV. And also, future segments are coming up. We'll just get them there when we can. A bunch of people subscribing on there. Do that, and we'll put your name on the air. Here's one. Petta Riklus. R-I-C-H-K-U. How do you say that? Riklus. Hey, Pet. It's a woman. A picture, anyway. And then somebody else calling themselves Just Make Something.
Yeah. I'm
They're subscribing there, and this is what they get. Okay, what do you got? You got stuff.
Well, I just want to talk. But all the historic sites are still closed until middle May, as far as we know. But I just found out that the river is open if you keep your distance and practice proper social distancing.
The river?
The river. You can walk along the Rio Grande River.
Oh, you can't walk in the river?
If you want to go on the river, it's cold and it's muddy. And
there's got to be a federal thing against
it's
that.
It's pretty dang strong right now. The current's pretty ripping along there, so be careful of that.
But there's a river walk you're talking about.
Yeah, you can walk all along the river. You can get to it like off a country club or up off of Borderland and Canutillo. But yeah, you can get out and move around there. And I know the mountain trails are open, I guess, if you, again, you practice social distancing, you know.
So, I don't want to know about that.
Yeah. Now, also, I want to point out something with Keystone is we're debating, it's not whether we're going to open the CDD, the wetlands area, because it's quite wide open and it is a trail setup. So we'll let you know more about that as you go along. And we need help. Keystone Heritage Park really needs more volunteers and more help to get out there. And if you're interested in helping us out in many different ways, garden tours on the board, different types
of,
give us a call at 915-581-7920 and ask for Bernie or me, and I'll take the message and pass it on.
Bernie.
Yeah, get involved. We could really use the help out there.
Okay,
now,
what does this number mean? 7,670.
That's how many people looked at the Facebook page.
That's a lot of people looking at our Facebook promo. And it's a promo about trains on there. We have on hold here, ready to go on the air, Woody Bear and Dave Hawkins talking about trains. But we stirred up some people on the phone. Here's one named Ronnie. Ronnie, good morning. You're on the radio.
Good morning, gentlemen. A very interesting program this morning.
What's on your mind?
Sir, you know, when I was young and the zoo was in Washington Park, there used to be a miniature railroad train that used to go around there. Can you elaborate on that, Mr. Bear or Woody?
What happened to it?
I don't know what happened to that one, but there is a train that is inside the zoo.
Oh, that's true. They have a zoo train.
It's a different one, huh?
Right. I think it's different, and it's kind of like the one that is out on the freeway. It's a little bit bigger than what it is at Alamogordo.
Because the reason I ask that is because my brother used to be the engineer.
Oh.
And it was one of those trains where you sit on top of the engine. It looked like a little Amtrak train is what it looked like.
Oh, that's neat. Would you like to see one of those come back?
Oh, yes. I sure would.
They have to make it a little bigger because you're probably a little heavier now, huh?
Oh, definitely, yeah. But I've always been a train enthusiast. I had all of the model trains when I was growing up. If I only had one of the trains that I had when I was a kid, I'd be satisfied. But, I was a destructive kind of boy, and all my toys are gone.
You had train wrecks on purpose, it sounds like, huh?
Exactly.
Okay. Were there any firecrackers involved?
Fireworks, that kind of thing.
I knew it. But you know what you might do now that you've calmed down a bit and gotten a little older? You might want to join these guys. Dave Hawkins is on the line here. Dave, how would he join your group?
The easiest thing is once we're back in operation, show up on a Thursday evening, 7 to 9. We can show him around and see if he might be interested in joining us. Membership is open to everyone, and it's quite reasonable, so might be an opportunity.
What's your Facebook page if he can go there?
Same thing as the long name of our association, Railroad Model and Historical Association of El Paso.
You have a phone number you want to throw out for people?
Sure. 915-238-0904.
238-0904. Well, there you go, yes. Ronnie.
I got it, sir. And, a few years ago, I used to work at a company similar to Radio Shack. It was called El Paso Windtronics.
We
used to sell a lot of stuff to the railroad guys for their miniature setups.
Oh, that's neat. Well, join him and see what happens. You may find yourself having more fun than you want to.
Oh, I do want to do that. Well, it's on my list of things to do. Keep up the good work. It's always an excellent program.
Thank you.
Thanks for ringing up, dude. You take her easy. We'll call moving on here. Got another caller. You wouldn't guess. As soon as I put that phone down, Shelley, another one rang under it. These people are looking for us. This one's named Prince. Hey, Prince. What's happening?
Hello there.
Good day.
Hey, great program.
Thanks,
Prince.
I wanted to tell your listeners about the history of model railroading in El Paso. It started right after World War I, and 6 miles east of town on Highway 80, there was a tourist court, and this is the days before there were motels. And so there was a campground tourist court there, and so the county set up Washington Park, which we all know today.
Oh, yeah.
And around that area, they had this model train, and it was a live steam engine that people could ride on, and it was actually the first civic center of El Paso. There was a place for event, an Olympic-sized swimming pool, and
then they added the zoo to it.
Uh-huh. But one of the main features for children all over town as late as 1950 was riding on that train.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the one the previous caller
was talking about.
Yeah, yes, it is. That's the same one the caller that Ronnie was talking about.
Yeah, it's really nice that Woody mentioned that the zoo now has a larger train that people can ride on. And that's really good because El Paso, because of all the railroads and all the railroad men, all the railroad families like to go down there, and all their kids would ride on that train down there.
Okay, Prince, I got a plan for you. Get the lottery ticket that wins, get it tonight, and fund this to $10 million. We'll get you started, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
We could do that. Las Cruces also had a train, and it was a small train that ran down the middle of the street, and it picked up people at the railroad station took them downtown.
Oh, that's way cool. All right, Prince, we're going to move on, but thank you for ringing up. You take her easy, all right?
Yeah. Good show.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate that. Hey, Woody.
Take care.
Woody, that's a lot of history there. $10 million would do you some good, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. It would be great. We could set up all kinds of nice displays.
The county would probably sell you
a
scary
nice railroad for
and
that.
They'd sell you a scary park for that, I'll bet you now. The way the money's going. Anyway, interesting stuff here. And we got to take one more break here because I think do you know who the break man is today? Mike Rivera is the break man on the show
today.
He gets
some squealing train wheels back in there.
He does. And there
well,
he is.
There you go.
And that bell's for you. And Shelley Sutherland, thank you for answering the phones as always.
He's the porter. That's
we
what
do
he
appreciate
is with the bell.
Well, he's in charge, so call him whatever you want, but be nice about it because he can turn off your mic.
That's right.
Big time. So, guys, we're going to come back and ask some details about how many rail lines and where'd they go. Because you had a couple of big ones come in, but you had some little ones scooting around there.
And I got a technical question to ask him, too, so it'll be interesting.
Well, ask him now, and we'll answer it later.
Ask the question now?
Yeah.
Hey, guys, okay. How important was the Westinghouse break to the improvement of trains and safety?
We'll get that after the break. What's that phone number?
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
I know we have the commercials online there, but you need to call Pepe's today, 877-2152. Order takeout, pick it up at 6761 Donovan. That's 877-2152. And also you have Amigos phone number handy
Amigos.
There?
Amigos!
533-0155.
And you can order takeout and pick up at 2000 Montana. And going out for takeout food is allowed by city ordinance on their patio. So
you can
keep
do that.
Safe
sit
space.
There and eat it.
Yeah, they got one table. No,
they got a bunch of them out.
They
also,
got a bunch of them.
Just
and
real
they got
quick,
a big patio.
Mission Del Rey, you got that catalog online, and we buried a bunch of coupons there, told you how to get them.
Yeah, you can look at their extensive online catalog and have your gifts and decor items shipped to your door or anywhere in the world. And now call up and make an appointment to pick up your order at their main location at 1421 North Lee Trevino Drive, and that's Suite A71421. Go online to get the address.
But chicken.
And that's at shopmissiondelray.com.
Yeah, missiondelray.com is how you find those people. All right, back to the reality of trains. Woody, the question about the brakes in Westinghouse, what about that? Do you know that?
You know, I know they used them, but I could not.
Oh,
I'm not that much of a technical person.
Neither am I.
Does Dave know it? Or did we lose Dave?
I do not.
Oh, well,
no. What do you know? You brought this up.
Bottle trains.
Pardon?
We can talk about brakes on model trains, which really don't exist.
Well, you break a model train by you putting something across
your
the track.
Or your hand.
Or turning off the power.
Bernie and I were talking.
Turn off the power. That works.
There you go. That'll do it.
No, but what was it?
Well, Bernie and I were talking about, you know, different things, because we both, we used to, one of our customers was General Electric in Juarez, and they used to build the huge capacitors. For which were larger than 55 barrel drums that they put in the electric or in the trains to
don't
start
get across
them.
One of those.
Oh no! But what Bernie brought up was the fact that the Westinghouse brake was a system that before to get a train to stop, you always watch them stop. You had to have a brakeman that literally ran across the top or through car to car, cargo car,
turn that wheel,
turn the wheel.
Yeah,
you ain't gonna stop real quick. So there were a lot of accidents. They lost a lot of brakemen. You know, they were on top during storms, snowstorms.
Here comes a tunnel.
There you go. Duck. And so this was one of the advances in technology, which is what it was for the trains to help them stop quicker and safer.
Oh, that's a good thing.
You got that, guys?
Now we know. But whatever it is.
Thank you, Melissa.
No, thank Bernie.
You sold it to him. All right. Well, how many train lines built into El Paso? 1881 was whom?
Well, in 1881, it actually had just three, but through the years, up until 1915, we had 8 railroads with 15 million tons of freight and a $3 million payroll in El Paso.
That's annual, and I guess.
That was Southern Pacific, the Santa Fe, the Texas and Pacific, the Galveston-Harrisburg and San Antonio, the Mexican Central, Mexican Northwestern, the El Paso Northeastern, and the El Paso and Southwestern.
That's a few railroads. One went to Mexico. Did I miss that one?
That was the Santa Fe and the two Mexican lines.
Okay, so they connected here and they called it Santa Fe to get to here. That's a lot of activity. Now, most of that still connected?
It's all connected in different ways. There are different ownerships now, but they all still exist.
It's amazing what went on here because there's so many things. And how big a hub was El Paso? Like compared to, Chicago would be bigger. I guess maybe Dodge City might be bigger. I don't know. Was Dodge City bigger?
No, Dodge City wasn't bigger. But, in the 1940s and 50s, El Paso had one of the three largest shops owned by the Southern Pacific Railroad. And that's pretty big when you talk about, a large railroad for El Paso to have that big a shop. Most of the new locomotives would come to El Paso to be set up and run and broken in. And the reason they did that is because the taxes in Texas were much cheaper than California.
So they would send them here, set them up,
run them up to Alamogordo, then they became used, and then they could go on to the rest of the line.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. California's always taxed people too much, but now we know how it went way back. The train, there must have been a huge roundhouse, correct?
Yes. There were several roundhouses here. The Santa Fe wasn't that big, but you had the El Paso Southwestern and you had the Southern Pacific, which were large roundhouses.
Now, when they were building into El Paso, they came in from the west. That line hit El Paso first, did it not? Because they were building from the east, right?
That was the Southern Pacific, or actually from the west. The Southern Pacific came from California. So they built into El Paso, built a bridge over the Rio Grande, and came in. Now, the Santa Fe came down from Albuquerque through Las Cruces and into El Paso.
And didn't that connect over to Deming before El Paso got connected?
It did. They wanted to make the second transcontinental link. So in early April, they actually linked the two railroads together. The Santa Fe was trying to find another route to Mexico as soon as they could.
And then they went through El Paso and kept going. And wasn't it so? Where'd they hit they didn't have a golden spike, I would think, or did they?
They did a silver spike in Deming.
Well, what happened down in like Van Horn or somewhere down there? Then they connected to the other guys. Didn't they make up some ceremony down there?
Yeah, down to Texas and Pacific, and then eventually the Galveston, Harrisburg, and San Antonio. And that was at Sierra Blanca.
Did somebody come along and pull up that silver spike?
You know, they never leave them there.
Oh,
they always
okay.
End up going to an official or to a museum.
A museum, yeah, I would think so. Good God. I mean, it'd be great. By the way, Roy called back. Roy had a call here, and we missed him. But the thing about the trains, it's a fascinating business to look at trains. I want to ask both of you, Dave, maybe you first, what fascinates you about trains?
You know, I've been fascinated with trains, as you said, ever since I ran one around the Christmas tree at the house. They just seem to be such an interesting beast. Bigger is better. You know, we helped support 4014 Big Boy when it came into town last year.
Oh, yeah.
Along with Woody and the group. That was just such a fascinating machine.
Explain that
so
thing.
Complex,
explain what you're talking about.
So huge. They probably one of, if not the largest, steam locomotive ever built. Running on 4884, four trail reels, two sets of eight drive wheels, and another set of four tracking wheels. And it was huge. I think they credited it with being able to haul, what, 1 million pounds? Maybe that was just the weight of the engine.
Oh, goodness.
yeah. And it's a huge thing. It was reconstructed, basically, by Union Pacific at their Cheyenne plant.
Well, they can afford it. Well, they can afford it, right?
Trails. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Say again?
They can afford it.
I think so, yes.
Yes.
And put on the rails. Yeah. And that was their ceremony.
Yeah, that was their showpiece for the 150th anniversary of the Golden Spike meeting. But those locomotives were built to climb the mountains in the Pacific Northwest. They needed a lot of power to pull those train loads and down those mountains.
I have a question about that. Wouldn't they kind of squish the tracks at that weight? I mean, I don't know how that works.
No, the tracks have a certain weight, and with the ties, and then they call it ballast, all the rock and stuff that supports the track, they're built to support that. Now, the one thing I was told was before it crossed the bridge in El Paso, they did have an engineer look at it to make sure that would not be an issue, and there wasn't any kind of an issue at all.
Well, they had a question, though, apparently, because that's a big, big, fat train, man. What did it run? Was it steam-powered with coal, or how did it run that thing?
It's steam-powered with oil.
Oil, okay.
It was originally coal, and then they converted it along the time frame to oil.
Can you imagine how much coal that thing must have hauled to keep it going?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Imagine shoveling
firemen
it?
the firemen having to shovel it in there, yeah.
Oh, he was never idle. He just had to keep shoveling, I would think. And have you guys ever been on a big train like that in the engine compartment riding around?
Not riding around, but I did get to go on the Big Boy inside the cab while it was here.
Oh, that's cool.
And just amazing. I got to watch it start the fire and try to adjust it and get it to the right proportion to be able to heat the steam. It's just a fascinating operation.
And that's all these buttons and dials and stuff. I remember seeing that down at Freeport-McMoRan with that 3420. They give you tours. You can get up in there and look at that thing. They don't run it. But you can actually get up and look at all the dials and stuff. We're going to talk about that more second hour. Taking a break here. Mike, are you ready for a break? Wake up, Mike. Mike is in there sleeping. No, he's not. that's the one we're talking
about. Oh, that was amazing,
yeah. That's the one we're talking about, the Big Boy. He's in there thinking about the big, big train. And that was the name. The name was the Big Boy. Is that what they called it?
Yeah, what was one of the Big Boy, I think.
Fascinating.
It was the one of two that are left. And it's totally, like they did with the engine number one here, they totally refurbished it. It was an amazing thing to
see. Well, the first $10 million on the lottery ticket, you've refurbished that Vaughn Court location.
Yeah,
the second $10 million.
There's a difference between number one and 4014, the Big Boy. The Big Boy was restored to running condition. Number one is restored to presentation condition.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Your second $10 million, we're going to go buy one of those trains, right? It might take more than that.
Then we need to move the number one out where people can see it.
Hey, such a deal here.
With you guys.
Taking a break, call us if you need to. What's that number?
Call us at 915-544-KTSM.
Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Talking trains here, a lot going on. A lot of people up on the phone. One guy's named Roy. Roy on the radio. Hey, dude. Put Roy on the radio.
Roy?
Hello.
Hey, Roy.
There you go. What's up?
It seems like there's a second, 8-second delay, but it's the reverse of what it should be.
No, it's your brain, dude. Yeah, no, maybe it's my brain. Whatever. Go ahead.
Anyway, you're talking about the Big Boy. That had actually two large oil tenders on it when it came through here.
Oh, yeah? What does that mean?
Well, I mean, it has a lot of oil.
Oh, okay.
You were talking about how much coal it might have had?
Oh, how a big
tank. It had two actual tenders of oil.
What kind of oil would that be? Do you have any idea?
Probably just a, I don't know, probably
coal oil?
What the Navy calls a bunker fuel.
Number five fuel oil.
Number five. There you go.
Number five.
The man knows his stuff.
Well, that's good. Anyway.
You got about a minute. Go ahead.
There was another one that came through called a Challenger.
Yeah.
And it was a big one, too. But not as big as the big boy. But it was a big one.
I've seen pictures of...
That was a few years before.
Yeah.
I saw a picture somewhere, one of these big ones, and that little train that is in a museum downtown.
Well, I got video of them sitting down the yard, huffing and puffing and steaming like they do. It's just like they're alive.
Oh, yeah.
And then I went out to east of Sierra Blanca, and I went through the... Border Patrol checkpoint by Sierra Blanca, I said, guys, the train been by yet? And he looked at me like, huh?
Okay, let's search your trunk, Roy. Hey, and we got to move on, but thank you for ringing up. I'll see you at Pepe's when it's open again.
All right.
Bye-bye. Back to you
Thanks
later.
A lot. You take care. It easy. We got to go on another call here. This one is Oscar. ¿Qué pasó? What's happening, Oscar?
Yes, sir. Good morning. I have a question. When is that big boy ever going to come back? Because I missed that one. I just thought I'd go by my house here.
I don't know on
Ask
that
these
one.
Guys.
Yeah.
I mean, what
we
do
might
you,
know.
Any idea?
There aren't any plans as of now to do that. This was a major event, so Union Pacific put a lot of money towards that event, but there isn't any word about it going out anytime soon.
Your second bet is to go online and watch the videos, and they're linked up on Facebook, are they not, Melissa?
Yes, they are. You can find the big boy. It's a full detailed website on the history of the train and its exhibits and information. And where is it housed eventually? Was it
Nebraska
Midwest?
Or somewhere? Would it?
The Northwest, Cheyenne.
I have a park. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I live near a park that is right next to the tracks here in the Lower Valley. And everybody just turned their head. We just in awe. I mean, marvelous thing my nephew's ever seen. And he loves trains.
They should do it again.
That number again one more time real quick?
For what?
For this club.
Okay, sorry. Join the
model train club.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Do you have it?
Dave, the phone number.
Sure. It's 915-238-0904.
And I'll also be putting it up on the El Paso History Radio Show Facebook page so you can find it there along with the link to their Facebook page.
Oscar, thanks for ringing up. You take her easy.
All right. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Thank you much. Care. Okay, one more time, Dave. And this is on Vaughn Court, and you need a new roof. So with or without the lottery, you could use some money, donations.
We could use some money, absolutely.
It's a nonprofit. Oh, yeah. And Dave Hawkins is the guy you were talking to. And again, Dave Hawkins' phone number?
915-238-0904.
That's a great club. I mean, what you guys do.
They do a good job.
And you guys don't sell any trains, do you? You have model trains for sale?
Oh, I bet.
No, not really, although we've been trying to have some sort of a swap meet or something occasionally to help facilitate folks sell trains and whatever.
Yeah,
we also have someone in the association who repairs model trains. Very, very good at that. If you're a member, it's done just for the cost of parts. So it's a really good deal. If you have a train that hasn't run for a while, you can bring it in. If you're a member, he'll work on it and just charge you whatever the parts might be.
Again, the name of your company, actually, it's on Facebook, and its name is?
Railroad Model and Historical Association.
Look them up, folks. This is a good crowd here. All right, we're going to say goodbye to Dave. But second hour, we got Patricia Kidney coming in. Woody, you're going to stick around, right?
Yes, I'm going to stick around. Let me mention one thing about how important the railroad was. In 1959, El Paso had 283,000 people, 3,000 SP, Southern Pacific, employees. That's 1% of the city employed by the Southern Pacific, and that's not any of the other railroads. So that can tell you how many, you know, how much the railroad supported the city.
Incredible. Thanks for being here, everybody. First hour, come back. Second hour, we'll see you then on the El Paso History Radio Show.
See you soon.